Hello, this is Dave Braganini. I'm the president of St. Julian Wine Company in Paw, Michigan, founded in 1921, and you can learn all about us on the web at www.stjulian.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
We are hot to trot on Michigan, really the last 6-9 months here on Wine and Dine. And today we have the pleasure of meeting a brand new winery, St. Julian's. And St. Julian's is actually Michigan's oldest winery. They're located in Paw Paw, and they are the Midwest's most awarded winery. What really precipitated the request for this conversation today to begin with was news that St. Julian's 2012 Reserve Riesling received very high awards at the East Meets West Wine Competition. And joining us today on Wine and Dine, David Braganini, St. Julian's third generation vintner and grape grower and current president, said that they just received news yesterday that the exact same wine won a double gold at the International Riesling Competition. And thank you so very much for joining us today, David. This is really cool.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Riesling champion. I mean, Michigan is really Riesling, land, isn't it?
Yes. It's consistently making as good a Riesling as anybody in the country. I drink a lot of German wines, and they do a wonderful job, too, so I'm not, but I don't drink enough of them to say we're better than them. That's preposterous to make that kind of claim. But when it comes to the United States, it was almost like the Final Four. We were the best in the East, and we went up against the best in the West, and we won.
I'm not surprised, especially for Riesling coming out of California. But did that even include Rieslings that were, and there aren't all in like Oregon or Washington?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, it included Rieslings from Germany as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know how many were entered, but there were 900 and some wines in the competition. So, 900 and some medals, I believe. I don't have the press release in front of me, but it's kind of funny that the local paper, the Kalamazoo Gazette, didn't even put anything in the paper. But
that's the way it always works. It's always experts from afar.
They love the microbrews around here, but we're the oldest winery in Michigan. My grandpa started the place in Windsor, Canada, across from Detroit during Prohibition.
Why?
And with the repeal of Prohibition, moved here because we're on the shores of Lake Michigan, and this big lake really influences the climate. Within 20 to 30 miles of the lake, we're successfully growing all kinds of vinifera and hybrids and Labruscas. I mean, the industry started with Labrusca in the 70s, lots of hybrids. But with a lot of cultural practices improving and better sites, we're doing pretty well. Just about everybody's doing pretty well with vinifera. We're worried about this year. It never got colder in history than this winter.
Yes.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, down where I'm at also, just unbelievable in the teens weather, unprecedented.
We had the Traverse City area had minus 28 for 5 hours. We had minus 18, but it's my rule of thumb, anything colder than 5 below has damage, so we're... We've got about 6 weeks to go here before we know the extent of things. This is the year that the hybrids will be the workhorses.
Yeah. Do you mound up dirt or compost or something around the bottom of the Riesling, and like Pinot Gris vines or something, Pinot Grigio?
No. The graft itself, there's enough snow cover here that we don't do that after the first or second year of planting. No, but no matter how high the snow is, it doesn't cover the buds that are on the wires, and that's where the damage comes from, the buds, the fruiting buds. There'll be leaves and everything, but we'll see what the crop's like. You know, maybe it's good because we end up thinning in August anyway because they overproduce. So, I don't know. We're trying to talk ourselves into
that it'll be an okay situation.
Yeah.
Well, does that kind of unprecedented or not regular temperature have any positive effect on, like, getting rid of certain pests in the vineyard, possibly?
I have not heard any of that from any of our growers,
okay.
No. I think once you get below zero. Well, I haven't heard of that, no.
Okay.
No. And, you know, we've got a big blueberry industry here. I think Michigan grows more cherries than anybody else in the country, and there's peaches. So
yes.
I think everybody's kind of got their fingers crossed here.
You mentioned cherries. Let's switch gears teeny bit. You produce a Michigan cherry wine. And
yeah, we make
so
a cherry
unusual.
Wine and a cherry brandy as well.
Oh, I didn't know a cherry brandy.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a still here. But yeah, quite a few people in Michigan make a cherry wine. You know, there's so many people in the world, and there's so many varied taste buds that you try to... If somebody comes into your tasting room and they leave without finding something they like, you feel like you missed the boat. So we have quite a range from dry Riesling to Albarino, all the way to things like cherry wine. They all win gold medals. If we're going to make a sweet wine, we make
right.
the best sweet wine we can. We take it all seriously.
What kind of distribution do you have for St. Julian's product? Is it available outside of the state of Michigan?
Well, we're in Ohio,
okay.
Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and a little bit of Kentucky. Outside of Michigan, we're mostly with the Glazier companies, and actually we
okay.
met with them in Chicago on Wednesday, and we're going to be doing a couple more states here in the next year. But here in the Midwest, you know, every state now has their own industry, so
right.
a lot of the state's industries in this neck of the woods get a bunch of their grapes from this area.
And
even in the Traverse, there's another appellation north of us, about 250 miles, that's still Michigan, and... I don't know. We got a longer growing season here, and
okay, that makes sense.
A lot of fruit grown here.
Oh, including apples. You have Gungadin cider. Is it just one cider, or you have a couple ciders?
Well, we're busy with one. We introduced it a year ago, and the blend is it's our proprietary blend, but 50% of it is Golden Delicious. So it's got a nice, bright, appley flavor. Relatively entry level, but pretty interesting. But, yeah, we have it in kegs, cans, and 22-ounce, what they call bombers. And we're busy. We're just busy as hell keeping up with just the one flavor. There'll be more, but nothing's on the charts yet until we get distribution on this.
When people buy the kegs, what are they using it for? Is it like cider by the glass?
Yeah, it's in bars.
Okay.
Bars and restaurants, draft. Yeah, it's a... Every restaurant around, every on-premise account around here has at least one tap handle of cider.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big thing here in the Midwest. Angry Orchard is Sam Adams, Boston Beer Company. Anheuser-Busch just released one this month. But, I don't know, ours is 100% Michigan apples grown right here. I mean, we're never going to be Anheuser-Busch, but we're quite consistent in the... It's a nice product.
David, do you think that cider will take some of the beer consumers, or will it take some of the wine consumers, or a little of both?
Well, what we see is that a guy will bring his girl to a microbrew, to a brewery, and he'll love the beer, the big, heavy, hoppy stuff, but she won't, and it's entry-level. Ladies like it. Like I say, there's so many different kind of taste buds. All the men around here at the winery love it. Will it take the place of the beer taps? Well, it's a big deal around this neck of the woods. Everybody's got like 19, 20, 25. Some places have 64 taps.
Whoa.
So they've got something that appeals to everybody. I don't know if it's going to take the place of beer, but we'll see. I mean, it is wine. Everybody thinks since it's on tap that it's beer, but it isn't. It's 100%, apple juice that's fermented. It's a little more complex to make than beer.
Right.
You know, it's a good question. We're having, nationally, it's got double-digit growth. It was up, the category is up 38% last year. And we just came out with this last May, and we don't even have a whole year under us, but it's exceeded our expectations.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I've never talked to cider producers until just this last 6-9 months, and I'm blown away by the category.
Yeah, it's big in England. It's big in countries that can't grow grapes, and it has been for centuries. I mean, our founding fathers, Jefferson and Washington, all those people, they drank a lot of cider and beer. You know, they didn't have the viticulture expertise in those days, but lots and lots of cider has been consumed. Then they went to whiskey around here, but wine it's only in the last 50 years that it's a big deal here in the Midwest.
Well, it's lower alcohol, certainly, than whiskey, but even wine. So, you know, you can have a little taste of something and not imbibe too much. David, we're going to go to a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with David Braganini, who is the third generation wine grower vintner at St. Julian's in Pawpaw, Michigan. They are Michigan's oldest winery and the Midwest's most decorated for the wines. We'll be right back, and you're listening to Wine and Dine.
Hello, I'm Linda Jones with the Michigan Grape and Wine Industry Council, a program of the Michigan Department of Agriculture, and there are some really cool things happening in the Michigan wine industry. You can check those out at www.michiganwines.com. Come have a look.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain. Welcome to Wine and Dine.
We're continuing our conversation, learning about St. Julian Winery in Pawpaw, Michigan. And a lot of the wines are labeled with the appellation Lake Michigan Shore. David Braganini is with us today on the line talking to us, but we were just talking about cider. But David, since you are winning all these awards right now for Riesling, and in particular, it's the Reserve Riesling, 2012 Reserve Riesling, talk to us about also this whole cluster and Braganini Reserve whole cluster Riesling, please.
That's my own vineyard. That is an estate bottled product. Comes off a 3-acre block down in Berrien County, closer to the lake. We make 6 different Rieslings. The St. Julian Reserve that won the gold this year. Last year, it was the St. Julian Reserve Late Harvest that won all the medals.
Oh,
but
wow.
The whole cluster is dry. There's no wood in it, but we didn't crush the grapes. We just put the whole clusters in the Booker press and squeezed them. Got a little less yield than you would normally, but a lot of brilliant flavors and nuances. It's, like I say, it's dry, but it's so floral and vibrant that not everybody likes it because they expect Riesling to have a touch of sweetness to it, but it's quite nice.
Definitely. And I love
this
idea of the food pairing ideas that you have with all the wines, like sautéed veal or pâté or fried chicken. Where I'm at down here, shellfish. Fried chicken, I mean, this fits right in, but where you are at up there, there is probably a lot of German influence in the cuisine.
Dutch, German, Italian, boy.
Okay.
There's no one, each city has a different, each area of the state has a different influence, just going back to, a century ago when people came over, but kind of a melting pot. The nice thing about all the Rieslings grown here, no matter how dry or sweet, they're finished. We've got really, really good acidity. None of them are cloying. Even the late harvest is just as sharp and crisp as can be.
Is the late harvest available in half bottle or a 500 milliliter bottle?
We initially offered it that way, but we've been able to produce enough that it... But we have a wine club, and people don't like getting half bottles.
Okay.
Just by the time they've gotten into it, it's gone, and... I see a lot of people go that route, but we have an abundance of it here that we can, we could probably make more than we're selling at this point. It's increasing, but we introduced it in half bottles a few years ago, but now we're in 750s. We make a barrel fermented Alsatian style.
Oh, really?
It's in 2 and 3 year old oak barrels, where it's barrel fermented and lots of different layers. We do that with Pinot Gris also. We make an Italian-style Pinot Grigio, and then we make a Pinot Gris like they do in Alsace.
Oh, so the St. Julian Reserve Pinot Grigio is the Italian version.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Braganini Reserve, the Braganini is the Alsatian. The Braganini is more expensive. Yeah, I would say better. The best, the absolute best goes into the Braganini line.
And you say it's estate grapes.
Well, not all of them. There's an estate Pinot Noir.
Okay.
There's an estate Sauvignon Blanc that we just introduced this year for the first time. It's as New Zealand as you can get.
Wow.
And There's a state Riesling, and we planted Cabernet. The spot is about the nicest spot in southwest Michigan, really close to the lake and high up. So we're figuring that we can ripen Cabernet.
Cabernet Sauvignon or Cabernet Franc?
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Wow.
There's lots of Cabernet Franc growing here.
Okay.
As much as that wine is good and as easy it is to grow, it doesn't seem to have the cachet with the consumer.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it's just like a stepchild.
Have you ever thought about making a sparkling wine?
We do.
You do?
We do. Yeah, we do. We make it a couple different ways. Our winemaker, she has been with us 12 years now. Her name is Nancy. We have a sparkling Traminette called Sweet Nancy. Traminette was developed at Cornell. It's a Gewurztraminer hybrid that makes it through the winters. It's nice and spicy, and it's kind of like an Osti. And we collaborate with another winery with a Blanc de Blanc, a Chardonnay. We send him the cuvée, and he does the bottle fermentation. So, and we have a couple of bulk process sparklers, but you know, you can't do everything and do it all well. So we don't do a lot of sparkling wine.
I had no idea.
We make sparkling juice too.
Really?
We make 8 flavors, 100% pure juice.
Oh, wow.
And they sell really well during the holidays. We make a sherry.
Oh, wow.
The Solera method. That's probably our most awarded product. And we make a port. And we have we make brandy and vodka.
Oh, my gosh.
We do a lot of things around here.
What is the basis of the vodka? What is it? A grain or a fruit or a potato?
No, it's vodka from grapes. Vodka from grapes.
Oh,
as long as it comes off the still at 190 proof, vodka can be made from anything. And our brandy is made from it's the age that seems to matter on the brandy, but some of the stuff in the bottle. I was 10 years old, but there's a lot of Vidal Blanc grown here, which is the it's an offshoot of Uni Blanc, which in Trebbiano, which is grown in cognac.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. You know, it takes so long, and there's so much money tied up in that. I don't know how the big distilleries make much money, but we make good products. When the longer something ages, the better it gets, but it evaporates. We don't have a real big still, and we're a winery rather than a distillery, but we like to dabble in different things just to experiment.
What is your total production of everything case-wise?
Well, around 100,000 cases of wine and around another 50,000 cases of sparkling juice.
Real seasonal product,
but we'll ship like crazy in September and October. And it'll be in all the stores and supermarkets around here for the holidays. It's kind of a tradition in the Midwest that all the kids get sparkling juice for
Thanksgiving
and Christmas. Yeah.
Do you make a verjus?
Yeah. I am not what is that?
It is a juice, but it's pre-ferment. Yeah, it's a juice, but people use it mainly for cooking, like you would use it for a salad dressing or something.
No. We do make an Italian dressing, but no oil in it. But no, we all of the juice gets carbonated and put in the sparkling bottles.
Last question here, David. I know that there are going to be people listening that are just going to go mad wanting to learn more and order. So what is the what is the deal about if they go to the website, can they order and you ship?
Yes. We are licensed in every state where direct shipping is allowed. I think like 42 of them. Yeah, stuff goes out the next day. We have a wine club, but we have a direct shipping department too. And yes, anybody can order. It's stjulian.com.
And are you allowed to sneak a bottle of vodka or whiskey out in that
order?
Okay.
No. They won't let you do that. And you know, people do it, but I'm afraid to do it.
You'd risk too much doing it.
Yeah, there's
but
too
if
much
somebody has
the consequences are dire.
But if somebody has a friend up in Michigan, they can get it and then ship it, you know,
mm-hmm.
on that way.
Yeah, in fact, our vodka won a bronze at the Finger Lakes competition as well.
My gosh, this has been absolutely a joy meeting you. We thank you so very much, David Braganini. This is Michigan is really, really a serious wine state here, and I want people to know about it.
Thanks, Lynn.
We will have links up for you to learn more, and you'll be able to order a lot more than I was even aware of. It's stjulian.com. You're listening to Wine and Dine.
You're listening to iWine Radio.